Once it's time for Flames Unfiltered, your spot for Calgary Flames Hockey Talk.
Overtime losses, clutch scoring continues to haunt the Flames, and a youth infusion? Is it helping? Good evening and welcome to another episode of Flames Unfiltered, hosted by me, Brad Brood, and Kyle Lewis. Green, good to have you here. It's been a wild week. I know it has been for you, it has been for me, and kind of been a wild week for the Calgary Flames, hasn't it?
Yeah, the results haven't been terrible, but they've been kind of all over the place, and as far as the team itself goes, I mean, man, some bad injury luck, and yeah, it's been interesting is a good word for it.
I've been, you know how many times in the last 3 weeks I've been like, okay, they're starting to get it together. And then the next day I'm like, they have not even come close to getting it together.
Yeah, I think my girlfriend would say the same thing about me.
yeah, that's probably the truth on me too. So I don't know.
Exact same way. Just you start to get some traction and think, okay, we're going in the right direction. And then we slide backwards. It's frustrating for sure.
One goal losses. I don't know how many more. I'd rather just get the shit kicked out of us once in a while just so I can, if we're going to suck, let's suck. But if we're going to play one goal games, I'd like to win a couple here and there.
Well, the nice thing about the losses, I guess, if you could say anything nice about it, is we are still gathering points. Those are points that are really valuable come the spring, but I agree with you in that it's really frustrating to not be able to close out games because that's what good teams do, and Flames having a hard time doing that.
They are, and we're going to talk about a lot of reasons why we think they are having struggles, whether it be offensively, defensively, all over the place. We're going to talk prospects today. We're going to recap five games. There's been five games since we talked last week. We're going to talk about the call-ups, waivers. Have an outdoor Battle of Alberta next year. We're going to talk about offensive problems. Are they really offense, or is it a little bit more than that? And then we got three games to preview this weekend and early into next week. It's going to be a jam-packed schedule as Christmas gets going. And, yeah, it's time for another episode of Flames Unfiltered. All right, Cal, we're going to rewind here all the way back to talk about when Minnesota came to Calgary a week ago. And it was the night we recorded last, and a game we both were looking forward to, and quite honestly, a game I thought Calgary played pretty well. Dan Vladar got the start. Minnesota scored two goals. Like, I literally went out to the fridge to grab a drink. I heard a noise outside, opened the door, visited with my neighbor for 2 minutes, came inside, and it was 2-0.
Yep. I did something very similar. I think I came upstairs in the basement to grab something, or maybe it was a drink, or I can't think of what it was now, but yeah, as soon as I got back, same thing. I'm like, okay. I hadn't heard anything, but yeah, it was very unpleasant to return to that site.
I don't know. And as the game went on, I didn't think we were playing bad. And then Calgary did come back, scores three goals in a row, in the second. And this, you know what? Really, we haven't been able to talk about this year. A solid come from behind win. Mm-hmm. I thought Dan Vladar was good. I don't know. All in all, pretty good games. Kadri scored, Coleman scored, Toffoli scored, all the guys we need scoring. Anderson had a clutch goal and,
big time.
A good game. And then that got me excited. That gave me hope. And then Friday night into Columbus for the reunion with Johnny Gaudreau, Markstrom in net. Richie's out. Zahorna is in. And, first shot goal. Line A scores on a breakaway to start the game. And I don't know. I had a bad feeling about this game right when that went in. How did you feel?
the exact same way. I mean, I had a bad feeling about the game before it even came about, just because Calgary always seems to have a habit of losing to bottom feeding teams. Yeah, that was a really, really, there was nothing fun about that game at all. There was nothing good to take away from it, I didn't think. Probably one of the harder ones to watch this year.
I think it was probably our worst performance, don't you think?
Considering the opponent, considering where it fit in the schedule, I mean, yeah, I think pretty well across the board, that's the kind of loss that should really either send you on a losing streak or send you on a winning streak, because it was so flat. It was really, usually the Flames games are pretty entertaining. That was a really, really tough one to sit through.
It was just a flat, boring-ass game, excessive penalties, and... Mm-hmm. You know, as much as I've been frustrated with this team this year, there isn't a lot of times I thought the effort was bad. And this was one night I thought the effort was bad.
It was horrendous, start to finish. And I agree with you. That was, I have to think a bit more about it, but in terms of effort, that is bottom three, probably number one.
I tried thinking of one worse. And
what an unpleasant.
Did we have a Nashville game in Calgary that was, I can't remember where, for some reason I remember a Nashville game that was really bad earlier this year. That could be hell, man.
Yeah, I think you're right. It must be something I'm suppressing, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't know. But this one was a stinker. And then the Flames get one night and they're in Toronto the very next night for a back-to-back. Vladar gets the start. Phillips is in. Lucic, finally a healthy scratch. And we're going to talk about that here in a minute. That was good, and all in all, I thought this was a pretty damn entertaining game and a game where I saw a lot of things I liked. Matthews scored right away, and Hanifin and Kadri. I mean, we end up the first period 2-2, and this was an entertaining game, a back-and-forth game. What did you think of the review goal when Hanifin scored? When it was under... Would you think that was a goal?
Honestly, no. I did it first, but then upon review, I didn't think it was, but I'm sure if you show it to me now, I might feel differently. I really have a hard time with those types of plays because they're so ambiguous and they tie up the game for so long. Like, what do you think of it? Do you think it was a goal?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't.
At least we're honest with ourselves, right? And with each other.
I didn't.
Yeah. No, it was just those plays, like, they take so long to review and I don't know. I just really, even as a fan watching, it kind of kills your own momentum of being into the game, I find. Just like, okay, like, you just, you know, call it how it is and just get on with it. Because I think initially I thought it was in, and then very shortly after, I'm like, no, that didn't go in. I know. If it did, it was well after the whistle, but that kind of stuff just drives me.
We were on the same page. Penalties continue to be a problem this game, too.
Huge problem.
Huge problem. Huberdeau takes one right off the face-off in overtime, and, of course, it ends up in a power play goal for Toronto, and we end up losing this one in overtime, and it was just penalty after penalty after penalty. And why do you think we're getting all these, like, they're, most of them are stick infractions. What's going on? What do you think's going on?
Just laziness. That's usually what stick infractions are, quite honestly. You're not paying attention to your stick. You're hooking guys. I've seen quite a few plays too where they're grabbing at them a bit, like along the boards. Like I just find they're flat and kind of lazy, which is really uncharacteristic of a Daryl Sutter coach team. But I don't really think there's another way to label those calls, especially if they're so consistently of the same variety. What's your thought on it?
Yeah, I'd agree. Most times, stick infractions are lazy.
Like this team is not skating. I know different personalities we've talked about a million times, but this team is not skating like they did last season, I don't find, generally speaking.
No, and it just seems so sloppy. And do you get the feeling, and I don't know, this might just be me messing with my own brain, but I feel like I watch these games and I'm watching for mistakes more than I'm watching for positive plays. Only because I know that Daryl Sutter is going to go ballistic for shitty plays. I'm serious. And so I'm like watching it like, oh God, don't do that. Oh no, don't do that. And it's happening. Guys are just, stick handling and into the, not shooting when they have a decent scoring opportunity to pass off for some pretty play. We got guys, I don't know. I feel on edge watching.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, that confidence we've had in, like, especially again last season, but even at points earlier in the year, as you kind of alluded to earlier, it's just not, I don't know. You're kind of, waiting on a mistake, or you're expecting there to be a lack of finish on a play that, you know, not that long ago you would have thought would be a goal. So, maybe that's kind of the totality of the issue right now. The team is really easy to pick apart when you watch them. Like, you anticipate some of the mistakes a little more easily than you probably should. And that's exactly what their opponents are doing, I find.
Do you ever, like, this is getting off topic here, but do you ever, like, flip to a different team and sit and go, God, I wonder, do they make these stupid plays like my team does? Like, I flipped over to a couple teams just to watch that are having losing streaks to see if they're, I don't know. I just.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, you have to look to some other team for a comparison at times. I mean, like right now, like the Oilers have been playing quite well, and that's always kind of unpleasant to witness. But you look at the things they're doing well, and not just having, you know, superstar talent obviously helps, but I mean, you see what these teams are winning right now are doing versus what the Flames are doing, and it's, there's quite a few parallels typically in that, I find. Like, you know, they're finishing their checks, they're moving their feet, the power play's moving the puck around. And like you said earlier, like Calgary's just like, okay, like, you know, they're starting to turn the corner. I think this is finally what this team's going to be. And then they let you down again. So
I know.
I think they're trying to find their way. It's really frustrating. But I think when you look at other teams, it kind of tells you what your team does well, but more often, unfortunately, of late, it's what they're not doing well.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. Monday, Calgary heads into Montreal. Huberto scores in the second. Anderson scores in the third. And this is, we go to a shootout. A 2-1 loss in the shootout, and Markstrom's in net. I thought Markstrom played pretty darn well.
Yep, he did, for sure. He was actually, that was probably, might have been the best hockey game I've watched at the chair.
Yeah, good game.
Phenomenal, you know, good fight. I mean, the injuries in that game were really unfortunate.
They were.
But the pace of play, the physicality, like, that looked like a playoff game at times.
It did.
For an interference game, was really strange.
It did have a little bite to it, and it was actually good to see again. You know, the penalties just keep becoming more and more of a problem. As I thought that was a difference again on Monday, and we got to figure out a way to curb that. And then last night, Vancouver comes to the Saddle Dome, and it results in yet again another shootout loss in a game that I feel we gave a point away. Of course. Just like the Minnesota game, 2-0, 1:48 in. This is just, you can't, it's so hard to get points in this league, but when you're spotting teams two goals right out of the gate, and Calgary fought back last night with goals from Backlund, Mangiapane, and Lewis, get ahead 3-2, only to allow Vancouver to tie it, and we end up losing again in a shootout, and I don't know. I was disappointed after this one.
That was very disappointing. I mean, what's the inverse of that saying? You know, snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. That's how that came across. And again, it's like we talked about at the outset of the show, just that lack of finish, the inability to hold on to a lead. I mean, because we all know that overtime and shootouts are a crapshoot. It's chance and it's luck. It's possession. I mean, that's what's going to determine who's generally going to win those games. So, the fact that they let that get away and get to that point, and like you said, gave the point away, it's like, oh my God, guys, like, really? Like,
I know. Just we clawed back. I mean, you couldn't have scripted it any freaking worse last night. We let in two goals on the first two shots, and then Richie takes an elbowing call, which, honestly, I thought might have been suspendable. Am I getting too soft? It was right to the head. I don't know. Didn't hear any talk of it today, so that's good. But...
Well, I think it's the way it is now. I mean, you can't really, you got to look at every player, right? I think there's definitely an argument to be made for it. I'll put it that way.
As I watched the game last night, it was entertaining. It was fun. But I was like, man, is this sloppy? It was just both teams. It was just a sloppy game. I don't know. I text one of my Canucks friends and I said, I don't think either one of these teams are making the playoffs. And he texts me back, he says, relax, Calgary will, I don't think we will. I don't know.
I don't, Vancouver's not going to, they're not even 500 yet, and we're almost to the new year, so I can't see it, unless they go on a really good run. Certainly possible, but I don't see it happening. I would think Calgary's going to sneak in just because with the personnel they have and the coach they have, I don't know how they don't go on a bit of a tear here at some point. I'm getting a little antsy that it hasn't happened yet.
I know. How about Markstrom save in overtime?
The Wild. I was a little leery about switching back to him after Vladar had several good outings and has been good all year, but Markstrom's been much, much better. Now the issue is more of defensive coverage and defensive personnel.
Let's talk injuries real quick, give everybody a little bit of update on that, and then we'll roll into talking about our young prospects that got the call-up this week. So Elias Lindholm missed Monday's game in Montreal with an upper body injury, did play Wednesday against the Canucks. Mackenzie Weegar was out ill on Monday in Montreal, but did play in Vancouver, or against Vancouver. Kadri took a kind of a scary hit to the head, had to go down for concussion protocol, returned to the game, seemed to be okay, and looked pretty damn good last night. Chris Tanev, this is the one that worries me, blocks a shot with his head in Montreal and did not return. He did not skate Wednesday, did not play Wednesday night, was evaluated in Montreal, flew home with the team, and everything looked to test out okay in Calgary. How long-term do you think this is going to be? And obviously, we're not doctors and we're both just speculating, but where do you see this one going?
What's standard concussion protocol? 14 days?
You think he's out 14 days?
I don't. I think he's back sometime next week. I'm just trying to think like worst case scenario here, but I would think you probably don't see him on the weekend, but you should see him next week because from what I understand, he was in pretty good shape. Later that same night in Montreal. The concern, of course, number one is for his health, but I mean, in terms of injuries of all the guys you just mentioned, if anybody's going to miss any length of time, none concern me more than him.
I don't know. Does anybody on the team concern you more than him?
Like, if given you had how good Vladar has been, no. At one point, I might have said Markstrom.
Me too.
Yeah, definitely Tanev.
But with Vladar, I'd be fine. I mean, I'd be fine.
Also, I want to point out, too, just about those injuries. The Kadri play, he was like calling, saying it should have been a five, and he was really upset. He was really upset a few years ago. Mark Giordano laid him out. Remember, he did like the throat slashing gesture to him.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
I really didn't like his reaction to the hit in Montreal because I don't think it was intentional. It was definitely a dangerous hit.
I don't think he even meant to hit him.
No, and definitely blindsided him, and I understand all that, but I really, like, when I saw Kadri, I'm like, oh, okay, like, and again, he's on the ice. He's the one getting hit. He didn't see the play the way that the viewers at home saw it, the people in the arena. But I thought, you know what? I think after he sees that replay, he's going to realize it wasn't that bad. But he's one of those guys that is, you know, likes to let everyone know how he feels. I'm like, I know you're on my team, but I kind of disagree with you here.
We haven't seen him kind of be on the edge a lot, though, have we?
No, which isn't a bad thing necessarily, but
no.
The game's going to start getting tighter, and we might need to see more of that, you know, from him.
I know.
He's always been a player that has a hard time walking that line, I find, because he crosses it fairly frequently, but hopefully he can keep himself dialed in and use that skill appropriately.
Monday, Kevin Rooney was placed on waivers, did clear,
of course.
And was assigned to the Calgary Wranglers.
Yeah.
Were you... Okay, we kind of went back and forth on this one. I'm not the biggest Kevin Rooney fan, but I don't know why. My gut tells me we're going to need him down the stretch. I don't know why I keep thinking that. I know you don't think that.
This is my facial expression. Give that away. Listen, I'd love to be wrong about that. I hated the fact he got a two-year contract and the money that he got because he did absolutely nothing to earn anything above league minimum. Doesn't mean he's useless, but he's been terrible. He deserved to go to the AHL. And somebody else, in this case, Matthew Phillips, and as a Horn as well, but more so Phillips, in my mind, earned an opportunity, and that's just hockey. But I could see him being useful down the stretch, but right now he's exactly where he needs to be.
Yeah. The call-up did happen. Phillips and Zahorna get called up after the Minnesota game, and Phillips does not play against Columbus. Whoa. Were you one of them freaking out? I didn't see your Twitter that night. Were you freaking out? Were you one of the guys all over?
No, I've been a little bit understated or not particularly active on Twitter. I've been more of an observer with the games and lurking here and there, but I wasn't freaking out. I don't mind a young player being called up and being asked to sit after a game or two just to kind of, you know, get the view from above. I would have played him against Columbus. It was my choice, but
I think I would have too.
Yeah. He doesn't look out of place at all. He ripped that shot off the post, I think, in Montreal. Like, he he's a really, really good skilled offensive player. So I think he needs his opportunities, but sitting a game here and there doesn't, you know, I'm just glad he's with the big club. I'm not going to lose my mind over it just yet. Unless Lucic keeps playing the way he has and Phillips keeps sitting, then I'm going to have a problem.
So Lucic has been a healthy scratch for three games. Phillips has been in for two, and Zahorna has played three. I want to get your, before we're going to get to the Phillips, because I know we've both been looking forward to that conversation all week. Let's talk about Zahorna first. And I want to get your take on how you think he has done in his position centering that fourth line.
Pretty good. I like his play along the boards. Obviously, he's a big body. He's, I was actually surprised when Calgary claimed him, waived him to send him to the American League, and that nobody put a claim in on him. Because that guy has some experience at the NHL level. He's a big body. And I think he'd stick on most rosters, at least as an extra forward. So I was glad he stuck around. But so far, he doesn't stand out a lot to me. I still find it weird seeing another 67 on the ice since Michael Frolik a few years ago. But I think he's been fine. I nothing flashy, but what's your assessment of him?
You know, he's fine. I like him in the lineup probably. Well, I like him in the lineup a hell of a lot better than Lucic. But I don't know how hard that is. I don't know. Okay. We've talked about this on multiple shows, and I'm going to get to how I feel about Zahorna, but I'm going to preface it by how I feel about Ruziska just because it's kind of comparable. I watched Ruziska play, and we talked about this previously about how he has so many tools, but like I want to shake him like a little kid sometime and be like, would you please work hard all the time? Whereas Zahorna, I feel like, is working hard all the time, has a big body, but doesn't use it as much as he probably should or could. Am I wrong in that assessment?
Not at all. I think you're bang on. He's not particularly aggressive. I'd like to see a little bit more of that, especially where he's taking the place of a guy like Lucic, who, when he wants to, can throw big hits and be intimidating and kind of play that role. But he has shown lately he can't take a regular shift, so Zahorna is your next best option in terms of a big body, and a little more engagement would be nice, but maybe Sutter can get that out of him.
I don't mind him. I don't mind Richie, Lewis, and Zahorna as our fourth line. I don't hate it. I don't hate that fourth line.
Oh, me neither. Not at all.
Now let's talk
about Lewis has six goals. That's crazy, eh?
What's that? Yeah.
Trevor Lewis has six goals this year. That's a lot for him. His career high is 14. Like, yeah. There's a chance he could do that. You never know.
Oh, yeah. I think he's well on base, too.
Yep.
Matthew Phillips in for two games.
Yep, two.
I want to get your take. I liked where they paired him. I liked that he was with Backlund. I liked that he was in the top nine. I want to hear. I know you were clamoring and wanting this guy called up bad.
Yeah, very bad.
I want to know your take.
Like you just said, I love where he was slotted. That's the best place for a player to learn is alongside Backlund. He looks very much like an NHL player. The offense is going to come slowly, I think, as it often does, but. I have no complaints about it at all. I didn't expect him to get called up and light the world on fire necessarily. I would have been cool to see him get his first goal or a point so far, but he doesn't look out of place. And the one thing that really, really bothered me about the recall was Sutter's comments about when Lucic came out and Phillips went in. The big man comes out, the little man goes in or something. It's like, okay, that's enough. Because if that's any other player, like being scratched like Lucic was, I'm kind of going off the board here, but bear with me. Any other player gets scratched, Sutter's going to criticize him. He wouldn't say anything criticizing Lucic. I'm like, really? The way this guy's played and the way you've talked about other guys and throw them under the bus, you're not going to say anything to criticize him? That didn't sit well with me at all.
I knew that wouldn't sit well with a lot of people. And I'm not going to defend the comment at all, but like, I think actions speak louder than words, and for Daryl Sutter to sit Lucic for three straight games, that tells me something. Now, I don't think Sutter, after everything Lucic has done in his career, is going to come out and say anything publicly other than he needs to earn a spot back, which I think he would probably say and agree with.
I hope to hear it. You know, and I'm not looking for skating and diving. It's been nice to hear he hasn't been good enough. Yeah, absolutely. You're right. Move on, right?
I do think that – I think maybe a lot of people – probably took that comment negatively towards – Phillips, but I didn't in the fact that he is extremely undersized. And mm-hmm. I don't look at that necessarily. I mean, we all know that. Like, he's going to have to play through that to be in every NHL day.
I didn't have a problem with what he said about Phillips either. I thought it was fine. It's true. Okay. It's a fact. Okay. I just, the Lucic part to me, it's like, if that's anybody else, I think he's going to say a little bit more about it. But
he did.
You know, he's the coach.
He did have a quote, though, and I saved it on my phone. He did have a quote, though, was it yesterday, about Phillips, too, that I was afraid people were going to take negatively. About when you come in, you have to do something. And I think he was talking about all the guys or pretty much anybody. But my take on Matthew Phillips is I think he's extremely offensively gifted. I do. And I want this guy to succeed. I think everybody does.
Mm-hmm. No question.
But quite honestly, I want all of our prospects to succeed. And all of our players to succeed. I do. Do I think he's going to stick? No, I don't.
Why is that?
I expected a little more. I don't know. I expected a little more.
That's like I did. Games, though.
I know. And I did see today that Zahorna and Phillips got sent back down to the Wranglers. But it was also stated by Ryan Pike of Sportsnet that it's basically a way to save cap space and to save on their days in with the big club without having to go through waivers. So all systems look like they'll both be recalled tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Well, they're in Calgary, so it's really just a paper transaction, right?
Yes. I know people were freaking on that. And I like that people love him, and I love that people are cheering for him. But here's what scares the hell out of me, is that everybody's been clamoring for him so bad. And if he gets six games and he doesn't produce, then what?
That's a great question. I mean, six games, 10 games, whatever, it's still not point to panic. I mean, I remember, like, this is a kind of a funny example. And not at all comparing them, but when Alex Hemsky started with the Oilers, he couldn't put a puck in the ocean. He was terrible. And I think it was either Ethan Morrow or Rem Murray that was like, kind of took him under their wing and tried to show him how to be a pro. And very slowly he started to learn and apply the skills everybody knew that he had. Forgive the Oilers example, but, I could see this being that kind of a situation where it's like, okay, this guy is going to get it, but it might take some time. So we have to be patient. Maybe he just turns into a fantastic AHL player like Darren Haydar always was, but, I still think he can be an everyday NHL player, and he has looked like one so far.
So here's a question I have for you, though. And I'm not trying to beat the send Phillips down drum, mm-hmm. but please hear me out on this. He has to play in our top nine for this to make sense, correct?
Oh, yeah, I think everybody believes it'd be a waste of his skills in the fourth line.
So whose spot does he take? That's more of the problem to me.
Yeah,
it's like a month ago I would have said, take Dylan Dubé, send him up to the press box, give him a breather for a couple games. You could probably do it with Mangiapane for a game. You could, but I can't look Coleman in the eye and say, I'm sending you to the fourth line for Phillips to play. I can't send Dubé up now because I think he's been pretty good lately. I can't send Mangiapane up because I think he's been pretty good lately. I just don't know where he fits right now. And I know what's going to happen. He's going to get sent down because they don't have a spot for him right now because I don't know where he fits because nobody's injured, right? And people are going to flip out. But I just don't know. I mean, I'm asking an honest question. Where does he fit right now?
Well, right now, maybe he doesn't. I mean, maybe the best thing for him is to have a few games with the team, right? I mean, I don't want to see him not playing. You'd be better off in the AHL getting top line minutes, obviously, but I don't think it hurts to watch if he gets the press box. Something's going to change anyway. Well, somebody's going to hit, a bit of a struggle here. He's going to get his opportunity.
I agree. And I've been saying it since the beginning of the year, because me and you have talked about this a lot on air and off air. We're not going to be able to go all year without somebody getting injured.
We haven't. No.
I know. And so we're probably going to need him this weekend. Who knows?
No question.
It's going to happen. But I mean, right now, if the top nine's healthy, I don't know how you can look at any of those players and then bring in a guy that's had three NHL games over them. I don't know right now.
Yeah, maybe it starts just with, you know, power play struggles. Give him a little bit of power play time. You know, maybe he is on the fourth line just to learn from the pros for a game or two. And you throw him in the second unit, he pots a goal. You know, like, anything can happen.
Yeah.
I just think it's nice that they're finally paying attention to him and you know, giving him an opportunity. And just as importantly, recognizing guys that don't deserve opportunity right now, like Lucic.
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. I think that's probably the biggest happiness for me in this whole thing came up with
accountability.
Yes. Yes. Yep. I agree. Now, scoring. Everybody's talking about this Flames team and talking about scoring as being the biggest issue. And in goals four, they rank 20th in the league. In goals per game, they rank 22nd in the league. In shots, though, they rank 5th. And we touched on this last week.
Yep.
That tells you something big time right there about quality of shots. Power play, we're 20th. And I started thinking about this, and I kept saying, well, we're losing games by one. We're losing games. The offense isn't there. We look at Montreal. We should have put – and then I'm watching games like Minnesota and the Vancouver game the other night. And if you look at our last few games, we've put up 3-1-4-3-5. And I'm sitting there thinking, wait a minute. Is scoring really the problem? Or is it that our defense is not – I don't know. I think sometimes your best offense is your defense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think your offense still has to be in the top half of the league, so there's still some improvement to be made. But
yep.
The games that we've been losing, if you look at the box scores, if you look at the outcomes, I mean, it's all related to not keeping the puck out of your net. And last night was a great example, right? I mean, it'd be great if you could do this in the 80s and you could score 5, 6, 7 goals a game, but you can't. And I mean, I never expect them to be as potent as they were last year. Given the players they lost, they brought in some great ones as well, but I think the shooting percentages are going to even out a bit more. The Flames will climb a bit in the goals for category, but right now it's all these bad goals at bad times, you know, and that's what they have to clean up.
You nailed it right there. It's when we're allowing goals and when we're not capitalizing offensively.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's where you have to look at things like your power play to be, you know, more potent. I still think we need to see more of Michael Stone on either one of those units, just solely because of his shot. We've seen how effective that is, but I think if you can tweak a few things, you'll get a few more goals. But the bigger problem is these inopportune goals, whether it's the goaltender, you know, with the puck that he should have had, or more concerned to me is defensive lapses, which we've seen lots of this year.
And Kadri's got 11. He leads the team in goals, and I wanted Kadri to be up there in the top of the scoring, but if you'd have told me at the beginning of the season he leads our team in goals, I'd have been like, eh, we might be in trouble then. I don't know. I feel like we got to get some guys going. Lindholm's got 9. Mangiapane's only got 6. Dubé's only got 5. Coleman's only got 5. I mean, Ruziska's got 6. I guess that's pretty good. And Richie's got 5. We talked about Lewis at 6. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty spread out. Just a few of the guys at the top end need to pot a few more, namely Lindholm, Mangiapane, and Huberto. Overall, he's going to get rolling. He's starting to come around a bit, if fine. He made a great play to Hanifin, earlier in the week. And I don't know. He's got another gear he's got to find. He should be driving the play for us.
Does that worry you?
Huberto?
Yeah.
Kinda, yeah. Not so much early in the year, because it was like, yeah, he'll find his legs, he'll get going, whatever. But now we're like, you know, inching into 2023, and I'm like, ooh, I don't know. Do we really want to pay a player, you know, that kind of money, 10-plus for a 55-point season? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So hopefully he finds his way here soon, but I'm starting to get a little concerned. What about you? How do you feel about that?
I'm getting concerned. I really am. I wasn't. And I was just like, okay, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But I'm to the point now where, like, I don't
know. When's it going to happen?
When's it going to happen? Yeah. I mean, and he's made some good plays, but like there was one instance last night that I thought he had a pretty clutch scoring chance and passed up and you tried to dish it off, and I'm like, well, I mean, this team needs to score. I mean, you get a shot in the slot, you got to take it now. You just got to take it. And I like some of the puck movement on our power play lately. I see a lot of things going in the right direction, but I feel like Huberto is off. I feel like Mangiapane's off.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like Ruziska's been lazy the last couple games. I don't know what to feel about Lindholm. I don't. What do you feel on him?
Well, the fact he missed a game for a upper body injury, I believe.
Yeah,
it
makes
me wonder. Kind of tells me that he's maybe a little bit banged up, but he's too good to not be better than he has been. So that's my feeling on him.
I feel like Backlund's been fine. I feel like Toffoli's given me everything that I can ask for out of Toffoli this year. I mean,
yeah, I agree.
I don't know. I'm worried, but I'm more worried about our defense than our offense. And I never thought I'd be saying that.
Yep.
I never
me
thought.
Me neither, but here we are.
I worry Uyghur does not have a goal. Zadorov is up and down and all over the place, which I don't know if that's bad or good. I guess he's freaking actually created some offensive things for our team, so I'm happy, I guess. Tanev, I worried about him. I mean, he's such a grinder, and so he lays it out there. Everybody, I remember when we acquired him from Vancouver, everybody's like, oh, he gets injured all the time. Well, he gets injured because he's freaking lays his body on the line is why he gets injured. I mean, I love guys like that. Hannafin's been decent, I feel. Anderson's been above average in my mind, and I don't know. I never thought I'd be saying this, but boy, we need Oliver Shillington.
Yeah, big time. Misses skating big time.
We do. We miss that little burst that he has. Him and Anderson can move it up the ice, and we need that so desperately right now.
Big time, yeah. I'll just keep hoping something changes on that front.
I don't know. I haven't heard anything. I don't think anybody has, and it just seems...
Nobody's heard a word. I expect we'll hear something in the new year, hopefully. Whether or not he's going to play this season might be the only thing we hear.
Yeah. I don't know. My feelings aren't great in that, I guess. I don't know. I hope
not. Easy to speculate. Just, you know, it is. Keep hoping for now.
Yep, that's right. It was announced this week that in October of 2023, a Battle of Alberta in Edmonton outside.
Yep.
Your thoughts on this one?
We should probably go.
We should. Yeah, we might have to put that on our calendar.
Yeah. I think it's great. I think it's long overdue.
I think it should be a good fun event. And
yeah.
I just worry on outdoor games how it affects the game, because the Battle of Alberta's are so special.
And that's the thing. I agree with you, because it's kind of a novelty, these outdoor games.
I know.
So I don't want to lose any intensity, because they're all, you know, skating around in the snow and trying to catch snowflakes with their tongues or whatever.
From a fan's perspective, I've heard they're awful to go to. I have not been to one.
I haven't either, but it'd be cool to say I was there, but I'm not really sure if we'd enjoy it after all. We'd enjoy the bar afterwards, but I'm not so sure about the game.
Well, we'd enjoy the bar, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. It'll be interesting. And I just hope that we can shore things up defensively, as I think that'll create more offense. And I hope Phillips gets going. And I don't know. There's this... I worry about how we're going to... I worry about how long it's going to take before we get points on a consistent basis, because we're starting to get into the season now, and we're 30 games in. I guess I expected a little bit more at this point.
Yeah, I think we all do. I mean, it's too early to get too discouraged. We're still above 500, which is important, obviously. But, you know, we'll have this discussion again in 3 weeks, and if we're still in 2 games over, then I'll start to panic.
So 3 weeks is your panic point, huh, Kyle?
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back to preview this weekend's action.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, Kyle. Flames back at it again. Friday night as the St. Louis Blues head into town for the first of 3 meetings. Surprisingly, St. Louis sits 6th place in the Central with 27 points. What do you expect in this one? First of all, who's starting in net? Who do you think?
I'd go back to Vladar. I don't know why, just on a whim. I just feel like he'd be really good in that game. But I think it's gonna be Markstrom, and you'll see Vladar on Sunday against San Jose.
I think you're exactly right. I would go Vladar too, not because I feel like Markstrom's been bad. I don't know. I just feel like we got to get something changed and going. So I look forward to this.
How weird is that too? I'm just looking here now because I'm trying to remember the third game was. So Calgary's in San Jose twice in 3 days.
I know. Sunday night, Calgary's in San Jose. And then Tuesday night, they're in San Jose again. I don't ever remember ever seeing that on the schedule before.
No, me neither. It makes me believe that each goaltender is going to get a start. Just a kind of throw a bit of a curveball, right?
I would think. I would definitely think. And now that's going to be a first of a lot of divisional games coming up.
And
we haven't seen that. We have not played any West Coast teams. And it's the first of four meetings. We're going to get the first and second over the weekend. And a little mini series. San Jose currently sits in seventh in the Pacific. Are these must-win games, Kyle?
But as close as you can get for this time of year, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, they've played against the East so much, it seems like. Like, now that you're into divisional games, like, you got to kind of prove how, you know, what you can do against your own division, because there's a lot of those games coming up.
Yeah. I don't know. This will be interesting. The 4 points in those games, I think, are going to tell us a lot of how things are going to go. It's a busy schedule heading up from here till Christmas time now.
Yep, and we'll have plenty more to talk about after these games next week, because I think we'll have a much better idea of what direction we're going in.
I know, and it scares the hell out of me, it does, because there's been a lot of points this week where I've been like, I don't know, maybe this team isn't as good as I thought they were.
Keep the faith. I'm going to stay that way for now, like I said, for another 3 weeks.
Speaking of keeping the faith, our prayers go out to Chris Snow and the family as he is at a real struggle this week. And
of course,
We wish him the best, and hopefully he can get through this influenza A and pneumonia that he has and get off that ventilator and get back to his home. So our prayers go to the Snow family. Kyle and I are back again next week. It's going to be a Christmas edition of Flames Unfiltered. And you know what? I think we should come up with our ideas of what the hell the Flames should ask Santa Claus for Christmas, because we could use some gifts right now, so
some points would be great. So, yeah, looking forward to discussing that.
Enjoy the holiday season, Kyle and I will, and we need some points right now, right, Kyle?
Absolutely. We'll be back next week with more.
All right, have a good week, Flames fans.
See you guys.
Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. Check out the Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Host Brad Brood is on Twitter at Brad Brood. And host Kyle Lewis is on Twitter at VanLewis14. Like what you hear? Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Flames Unfiltered can be found on all the major podcast players. Want to watch the show? You got it. Check out Inside Edge Hockey Media Group for every show. Subscribe while you watch. Thanks for listening, watching, and interacting. Enjoy the hockey action.
The week comes! Playoff! Yeah, baby! Playoff! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.